couple of months ago now, I had a word of knowledge for supernatural weight loss. And people laughed. No one responded. I just got people laughing. So I came away thinking, okay, Lord, why did they laugh? Did they laugh because they thought that was a cop-out? Did they laugh because they thought you weren't interested in such things as weight loss? Or did they laugh because they were embarrassed? Because, well, maybe I should go forward for prayer. I think sometimes we forget that the Lord is very interested in the everyday and the mundane. Sometimes we think that he's only interested in the things that influence our obedience or compromise our ministry. But to live that way is to live like a servant. See, the master of a servant doesn't care about a servant's personal life, unless that personal life is influencing their serving. If it doesn't, he doesn't care about the details. He's a master, and that's a servant. And while we are servants, and there is truth in that, God never treats us as servants. He treats us as sons and daughters. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm very interested in all the details about my kids. Those I love, I want to know. What are they up to? What are they doing? No little detail is too mundane. Why? Because when you love somebody, you want to know about their everyday and their mundane. Because you care about them, you care about the details. And our God is just like that. When you look in the Bible and you look at Jesus' appearances after the resurrection, it's only about five or six that are mentioned. And when you think about where he turned up, sure, we can imagine him turning up into a room where you've got the disciples huddled together because of fear. You can imagine, yes, of course, Jesus would turn up there. But what about at the beach when the guys are out fishing? And Jesus decides to cook breakfast. We're talking about the glorified, resurrected Lord. And he's on a beach cooking fish over an open fire. I don't know about you, but that kind of blows the religious concepts of what a glorified, risen Christ would do. Walk through walls, yes, I understand that. That's what God would do. That's what a glorified Jesus would do. Cook a meal for his mates at the beach? Well, that kind of stretches it a little bit for me. What about taking a walk with a couple of guys as they're wandering along the road? He did that too. See, where do we expect Jesus to turn up? If we only expect him to turn up in church, we are missing out on a whole lot of the week and a whole lot of encounters. God wants to turn up in the everyday and the mundane. Why? Because he loves you. Why? Because he cares about you and he cares about the details. He cares about every aspect of us. He actually says that the very hairs on our head are numbered. Now, for some of us, there's bigger numbers than others. Well, for some of us, our numbers are getting few. But why did Jesus say that? Why did he say, I have numbered the very hairs on your head? So we could go, wow, doesn't God know a lot? Fancy knowing the number of hairs on my head. Isn't that awesome? I mean, God must know everything. Is that why God tells us that? I don't think so. I think he tells us that because he wants us to know how much he cares about the details. Diane talked about getting the new nightie and dressing gown. I think God looked at her this morning and smiled and thought, you look good, Diane. Why? Because he cares about the details. And we're going to look at some scriptures very quickly this morning because I want you to capture the heart of God for us in the details, not just in the spiritual aspects of our life. And many times we think that that's all that the Lord is interested in. Okay, that's Luke 12:7, where it talks about very hairs on our head being numbered. But for time's sake, I'm going to jump into 1 Corinthians 6:12-15. I'm going to read through this slide and the next slide. And I want you just to listen for the heart that's here. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food's for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he is joined to a harlot as one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Most of the time, when this passage is read through, the thing that is brought out is about sexual immorality. Right? It's wrong. Don't go there. But I believe that there are some other truths in there that we often miss. And they're the truths that I want to pull out this morning very briefly. So I'm going to take just some of the verses and pull out a couple of things from what we've read, just very quickly for you. Verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. I think as Christians, many of us have ended up in a problem because we know that we can't do the drugs, sleep around, have the immoral lifestyle, go to the parties, but guess what we can do? Yes, as Christians, we can eat. And we can have fun eating. And we don't need to feel bad about eating because there is not anything that says thou shalt not. We can nod on that one, right? We've all been taught the no's. Know this, know that, know that. But we can eat together. We can have fun eating together. Oh, All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Verse 13, the body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. I think many of us, especially if we have been raised in religious circles, think that God only cares about our spirit man. And maybe he cares about our soul. Like, get it sorted out. Like, get your thinking straight, get your emotions in line. But what God really cares about is your spirit. Anybody been raised kind of with that concept or has recognized that that is a little bit how they have been as a Christian? Like, God cares about my spirit, kind of cares about my soul, but my body, God doesn't really care about that. I mean, it's just the house I live in till I go to be with him. Okay? There's a lot of Christians who have lived like that. Like, God does not really care that much about our body. I can see a few of you nodding. Okay. This verse tells us differently. It says, the body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. God cares about your body. When we're young, most of us run around and we don't take much notice of what is happening to our body until we end up with some aches and some pains. Who's found that? And then you start to realize that you live in a body. And this body can cause you some problems. And living with pain is not fun. I know, it's not a message where you're going, oh, yay, Lord. Let's have a look at the next one. Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? This is such a different concept from what a lot of Christians have. Our body is a temple. When we went on a trip around Europe and through the UK and there, we went into magnificent cathedrals and places which were like you stood in there and just went, whoa. But that's us. God doesn't want to live in something built with hands. He wants to live in us. We are temples. We are holy. God wants our temples to be glorious. One day he likes your body so much, he's going to actually raise it from the dead again. When you die, you don't get rid of it. And some of us have already put our order in. I want to be taller, I want to be skinnier, I want to be this color here. God, I want to be my design of what my body should look like. Anybody else? Let's look at verse 20. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is the last verse, and it's almost, you almost get the feeling like, and in your spirit, is kind of thrown in at the end there. Because what this passage of scripture is, when you move aside the whole thing of sexual immorality, what it's really talking about is, hey guys, your body is for God. Not just your spirit, not just your soul, but your body. It's for God. And I like what Celeste Sumrall said. If your body can't go, you can't go. If it won't work for you, you can't work. I believe God wants to help us in some very practical areas to deal with our body. Let's come back to one more scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, all of you, not just some of you, but all of you. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't disregard our bodies. Many of us have tried for years, but our body has a way of saying, I'm here. Please take care of me. And I think as Christians, it's an area that we're not good at taking care of. So I want to come back to where I started and talk about supernatural weight loss. You're not laughing this time. See, I believe God has something for us. It's actually an area I've been praying into. And I believe it's an area God wants to answer. He actually told me, if I answer it the way that you want me to answer it, you wouldn't be able to have church on a Sunday morning. Why? Because the lines at the door will be so long. Can you imagine people walking in here and walking out their perfect weight? Can you imagine how many people would come? But I believe that God does have some answers for us. I'm actually going to get Michelle to come and share her testimony with you.
Morning, everybody. I'm one of the people that Pam has prayed for. Obviously, I've still got a long way to go. But the first week after Pam prayed, I'll go back. When I was 14, I decided I was going to put on weight. I had my reasons. I'm not going to go into them. But I decided that I was going to put on weight. And I did. Lots of it. When I became a Christian in 98, I decided I didn't want the weight anymore. And I tried and I tried and I tried. I tried Weight Watchers, I tried Jenny Craig, I tried Fast Slim, I tried... basically, you name it, I've probably tried it. Got nowhere. Maybe lost a few ounces, maybe lost a kilo, but that was as far as it went. It always came back on with its friends. So I gave up. I gave up trying. Pam prayed for me the first week. I think it was I lost 5 kilos. The second week, I lost 4 kilos. And it's still coming off, a lot slower now, but it's still coming off. So I praise God.
I hope you caught that. She hadn't lost weight. She was unable to lose weight. When I prayed, number one, we dealt with the curse that she had put on herself as a 14-year-old. But number two, we asked God for supernatural weight loss. See, when God does for us something that we have been struggling to do for ourselves, it's called grace. God is a God of grace, a God of mercy. There's been churches that have gone after many things. I know Bill Johnson's church, they've gone after cancer and they've declared that it will be a cancer-free zone. And they have amazing breakthroughs in the area of cancer. But I want to see us go after not only healing, but health. I believe Christians should be the healthiest people on the planet. Now let's quickly look at what our New Zealand government and the medical profession are saying. Medical Association. New Zealand is fat, getting fatter, and doctors say urgent action needs to be taken. New Zealand Medical Journal. Population surveys in Australia, North America and Europe show that at any time 62 to 74% of adult women are trying to control their weight. Probably some of the women here are going, yeah, understand that statistic. Let's have a look at one more. New Zealand government website. New Zealand has the third highest adult obesity rate in the OECD, and our rates are rising. Almost one in three adult New Zealanders over 15 years old is obese, and one in 10 children. For adults, obesity is also associated with a long list of health conditions, including type 2 diabetes, heart disease, stroke, several common cancers, osteoarthritis, sleep apnea, and reproductive abnormalities. The World Health Organization describes the prevalence of obesity as an epidemic. I believe God wants to help. I'm glad I've got some people that will say amen. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. And if I asked, and you may not want to put your hand up for this, but if I ask how many people have tried to lose weight and have found that they can't, there'd probably be quite a few people's hands that would go up if you were game enough to put them up. Okay, yeah, I've seen a couple of game people. Well, where to from here? Well, there's a couple of things. The first one is I'm going to start praying for supernatural weight loss for people. In fact, I'm going to get Michelle to come back and join me, and if anyone wants prayer this morning, we will pray for you, because I believe that God wants to help us do what we struggle to do ourselves. But I believe that it's more than just the weight loss issue. I believe that there's a whole issue where, as Christians, we focus on our spirit, we're aware of our soul, and we forget our bodies. I believe as Christians, a lot of us are living unbalanced.